Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to come, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Mendel Rivers to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nubs. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner. The revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on reports from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he had been saving for just the right occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so goddamn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally screwed Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news, and no pictures of Harry Arm, women liberationists, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Keyes, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Campbell, or Ingle Humperdinck. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised. Will not be televised. Not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Round off. Remember, we should
forgot us. They forgot we represent them. Forgot here goes. We're here to get our benefits back. We're here to fight for the American people.
Beat the Press is back with our political roundup. Here this morning, Harold Ford, Kathleen Parker, Judy Woodruff, and Chuck Todd. Now, David Gregory.
And we'll get to them in just a moment, but I want to check in with CNBC's Andrew Ross Sorkin because, Andrew, we've been talking about the impact on the markets. Thus far, the markets have been okay. Listen to Christine Lagarde. As we get into this week, closer to Thursday with fall, that could change, right?
Absolutely. You know, thus far we have not cratered. You've seen the market come down, but not nearly as much as you might have expected. It actually came back up towards the end of the week on expectations. We had a deal because at base, Wall Street considers all of this theater, at least theater at the moment, expecting some form of rationality at the end of all of this. Tomorrow is Columbus Day. The stock gets open. I imagine it might be down a bit, but the day to watch is going to be Tuesday. That's when the bond market reopens. And that's when people are going to be really focused on treasuries, and you start seeing banks and other institutional investors who haven't positioned themselves for this on expectations with deals start to say, maybe there's more to this, and maybe we actually have to get ready. And if that's the case, I think we could be in for a bit of a ride.
People also may not understand how much money it costs the government to be shut down.
Right.
We talked about that on Twitter in our interview on Friday. You made the point, $1.6 billion last week, according to an analyst from IHS.
IHS
day cost us.
It's, and each additional day in terms of economic output in the country is $160 million. Those are the numbers. So there are huge stakes here. If we get past the debt ceiling without a deal, even if we increase the interest rate on treasuries by 1 point, that's $120 billion annually. So huge cost to the real economy. There's going to be a cloud, an overhang either way, because whatever we get sounds like it's going to be a short-term deal. Through the holidays, people are going to continue to be nervous. It's going to impact investment. I can't tell you that this ends badly, but I can't tell you that it ends well.
All right, Andrew Ross Sorkin, we know you'll be watching it all week long. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
This morning. Our full roundtable is here. I wanted to show everybody, as we look at the politics of this and the impact of this at the end of the week, here from our NBC News Wall Street Journal poll about re-election. Here was the question. Would you vote to replace every member of Congress if you could? 60% in our poll. 60% said yes. Chuck talked about it, a political depression. That is the question for all of you. Are we in a political depression?
Well, when 8 in 10 Americans say the country's in the wrong direction and we're not in an economic downturn. We are not in an economic downturn. We are it is a fragile economic recovery, but we're in recovery. It's clear we're in recovery. There is a little bit of optimism. So when you have 8 in 10 Americans say we're heading the wrong direction, and it's not the pocketbook, and it's not a war overseas, then what is it? It is this. It is the last time we had this, the only other time we were this bad in our polls was during the Great Recession and right after Lehman Brothers. So there's no other way to explain it. And I think that the country is totally now fed up with this broken political system. And, yes, right now Democrats are quote-unquote benefiting because the Republicans are taking a beating. But this is the crisis in confidence,
right,
government and the political system. This is
And Judy Woodruff, you've covered these issues over time, yes, a couple of years ago, but it goes farther back. We were talking to Leon Panetta back in 1996. They were talking about the need to deal with Medicare. It's Washington's inability to get to pass this fundamental belief that you're 100% wrong and I'm 100% right.
That's right, David. I mean, I didn't cover the Great Depression, but when you think about it, this is as bad as it gets. It's back to the 1930s before FDR. And what the similarities are is back then it was the rich poor who were hurt by what's going on. It is, as Chuck just said, it's Democrats and Republicans. Yes, Republicans are hurt in the Trump because people don't like, think they're mainly responsible for shutdown and what's going on. But in the long term, people lose confidence in government. They think Washington is dysfunctional. Democrats believe government should work. Government should be there to solve our problems. But the public no longer believes has any state government. That hurts the Democrats, too.
Yeah,
I'm not surprised, not more than 50%.
That is a high, though. We'll get there.
But even on the Hill, I mean, Republicans and Democrats are equally frustrated and fully disgusted with not only one another, but each of, not the opposite party necessarily, but even among themselves. And, the strangest thing as we watch all of this is it seems to me that the two protagonists, Senate Speaker Boehner and the President, are essentially being driven by other parties. And it's sort of sad and tragic in a way that they each know what other needs and seem willing to have provided that at a certain point. We're well past that point now. But the president is being driven apparently by Senator Reid and poor John Boehner. I always appreciate his name with poor. Poor John Boehner is faced with this Tea Party insurrection. And so, it's almost as though there is no one who can kind of take control of what's come apart. And everybody seems to want to.
I raised this point before, and I raised it in time just to keep, because it's just that the Republicans have taken such a beating on this, Harold. The president knew this was coming as well, and, we didn't have to face re-election again. So is there a certain aspect of this where he said, look, not only am I going to protect a future president from having to deal with these kinds of demands, but I can also do some real damage to Republicans here if they appear to be intransigent and have a strategy to shut down Obamacare, which doesn't necessarily work. what's becoming increasingly clear, and you asked that question of the two senators, could you blame, would each of you be willing to blame the other side 100%? And it was interesting to hear their answer. What's becoming increasingly clear is the president's going to probably have to engage in a little give and take. There's two issues here. One, you have whether or not we raise the debt ceiling. You have a proposal to raise it for 6 weeks, a proposal to raise it till the end of January, and you have a third one where you want to end it, take it to the end of the year. Second, to open the government, you got a group that wants to push it out till the end of January. Another group wants to push it out for a few months later. When we look back, we're going to wonder how on earth could the president have not come to some agreement when you have plausible, attainable kind of goals in front of us. Two, the economy is ready to take off. We saw last week, market exploded. Biggest gain, single gain the day of the year, once it looked like a deal was within reach. Last week, report demonstrated that America is the number one energy producer in the world, about to overtake Russia in natural gas, oil, and other petroleum products, which means jobs, more high-paying jobs. Americans want to work. They want to get beyond this moment. It seems for those who are outside this, and I'm not as close to Washington as I was before, that a deal is within reach. To Kathleen's point, it appears there are forces, Tea Party on one side, perhaps liberal progressives and liberals on the other, that are stopping us from actually doing each side taking a small step, conceding a little bit. Boehner conceding a little bit with Republicans spending, and President Obama conceding with Democrats around whether it's Obamacare or perhaps spending.
Well, to your point, is that the fact is there were several proposals made that were completely within reasonable bounds by anyone's measure, including Senator Susan Collins' proposal.
Cost of the shutdown. The cost of doing this 6 weeks at a time, even 6 months at a time, the cost of not having a budget that we haven't had in I don't know how long, the actual budget, the cost of doing that for the federal government is also costing us money. That's where, I mean, that's sort of, to me, the most frustrating, and I assume the most frustrating part of the public, is if they're fighting over a six-week deal,
right? But we need something to get beyond this moment.
But you talk to the White House, and they make it clear the president is not going to end on the debt limit.
Right.
He will not, does not want to go with the short-term turnaround. And but if they say if he can remove the threat of a debt limit, the president is ready to talk about spending, about appropriation, about the sequester, the automatic across-the-board cuts. So they're saying that that ability is there, but Republicans have got to get over.
What is an integrity here? I asked the senators, so if you do get a deal by Thursday, what will they have overcome, Chuck? Because part of it is how much do you spend for the next fiscal year, and there's some debate about numbers.
Right.
So that's one thing. But Obamacare seems to be the
disposal. I mean, listen to Rob Portman. His two demands now were.
But he's not a House Republican.
No, he's not. We're employee verification and ICE tax. So, I mean, the demands on healthcare now are very, very tiny. The problem for the Republicans has been the deal that Mitch McConnell and John Boehner would take, they can't sell. They think would be a win. You know, Mitch McConnell's out there and saying, hey, look at these spending cuts. And John Boehner is a guy that wants to do something about Medicare and Social Security. Thomas, that's not sell with the Tea Party. So the Tea Party caucus does not want this. They do not believe a deal really is something to tout. Certainly not something to take home to voters.
It is going to point an increase in debt ceiling as well as a reopening government if he chooses to avoid the hazard. What is the likelihood in your account that
I think
Tuesday or Wednesday, yeah. He does not have a majority of Republicans. He obviously would get all the Democrats, could bring maybe 40
Republicans. Talked to them last night, Trey McConnell, and retweeting it, whatever. Senate Republicans thought they had a deal Friday night. Everybody thought yesterday it was going to happen, and then Reid backed out part of that to the White House. They didn't like the sequester issue, all this, and these numbers that were rallying around Congress. I think on Wednesday, Boehner just takes the Senate bill that's sitting there. Don't forget, at any point in time, you just throw that out there, and one bill, and then we sort of punch it.
Kathleen Obamacare is the center of this in terms of the debating piece of this, and we were talking about Kathleen Sebelius. She's the Secretary of Homeland, Health and Human Services. She runs the health care plan. She runs Obamacare.
But she thinks she runs Homeland Security.
Yeah, all right, I can say no.
But it's part of Obamacare. The Department of Homeland Security is part of the security verification.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
We fixed that.
She's on John Stewart this week, and it didn't go well. Watch this.
We're going to do a challenge. I'm going to try and download every movie ever made. And you're going to try and sign up for Obamacare. We'll see which happens first.
Funny line. Unfortunately, a lot of truth. She struggled to answer why you'd give a business a year delay, but not an individual who has to, you know, adhere to the individual mandate.
Well, they don't want to give the correct answer, which is that the Obamacare falls apart without the individual mandate. We need young people to pay for
the people, right?
Yeah, the unhealthier folks. I think, you know, as a fellow Kathleen, I think we could cut her just a little bit of slack. I think she was not effective. She should have been far better prepared with her answers. There is no good answer to the individual mandate. There also is no good answer to why this disastrous rollout. These people had plenty of time to get it together on the one hand, but they also had plenty of time to get their answers straight so that when they were asked, they could say, not it's going to get better. Every day it's getting better, but you know, it shouldn't have happened this way.
All right, let me get a break in. We'll hear from the others on this question and have more with our roundtable. Right.
I was feeling so alone.
I was going through a really difficult time.
I didn't want to bother anyone.
I didn't think they'd understand.
It was tough at first, but I did it. I'm glad I asked for help.
I asked my teacher.
I asked my dad. You can do this.
Whatever it is, ask for help.
If you're thinking about suicide or need support, call the Trevor Lifeline. Trained counselors are there to help 24/7.
We are now ruled closing vote by a president of the Fear Olympics who bows down to Allah.
Yeah.
Whose rules of engagement for our veterans don't allow us to defend ourselves properly. Who are dying per capita in greater numbers in Afghanistan than ever died in any American war. And I know because I represent some of the families. And I feel personally involved. This president is not a president of we the people.
No.
He's the president of his people. He's to be the president of all of us. That's what he said he was going to be. He's to stand here with a veteran to defend our honor. And he should be here today.
Yeah.
I thank you all for coming here. I thank you for your patriotism. This is the first step. In the course of history, there have been many who have used peaceful, nonviolent, to change history. I do not advocate violent revolution. To the contrary, in the style of Mahatma Gandhi, in the style of Lech Walesa in Poland, who brought down communism, in the style of Martin Luther King, who stood up there many years ago and declared freedom, I call upon all of you to wage the second American nonviolent revolution, to use civil disobedience, and to demand that this president leave town, to put the Quran down, to get up off his knees, and to figuratively come up with his hands out.
Mark has some new information to understand. Behind the scenes talks going on there at the Capitol. Any progress to report?
Well, Don, I'd like to say that, in fact, there seems to be kind of a break in the impasse over how to address the debt ceiling and the continuing resolution, two big issues that Washington has really been struggling with for the past couple of weeks. Unfortunately, there doesn't appear to be one. As you said, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid just gaveled the Senate out of session. It was in for less than 4 hours. This is what he had to say, though, about his conversation that he just recently had with Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
I've had a productive conversation with the Republican leader this afternoon. Our discussions were substantive, and we'll continue those discussions. I'm optimistic about the prospects for a positive conclusion to the issues before this country today.
And there you have Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid just on the Senate floor moments ago saying that he's had a substantive conversation with Mitch McConnell, the Senate Republican leader. I have to tell you, though, Don, I spoke to somebody very familiar with the negotiations, and this person said, do not expect anything substantive to actually happen tonight. Do not expect some kind of deal to be broken or even major steps in a deal to be taken. This is actually very troublesome for tomorrow morning, as we'll now start to see global markets start to open up. And if the Senate can't be able to get a deal, get a close deal, we'll start some move marks, Don.
Okay. Jim Acosta, it sounds like we can all just pack it up and go home because, you know, Mark is saying no deal. What's the president doing today? Who's he been talking to?
Well, Don, he has been talking to House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. The White House did release some details about that phone call. And the reason why that's important, you might wonder, well, why is it important that the president called a member of his own party, even though Nancy Pelosi is a very important member of that party. But according to a readout from the White House on that conversation, it says that the president reiterated his position that he will accept nothing less than a clean continuing resolution to reopen the government and a clean debt ceiling increase. Don, why is that important? That's basically the president's same position all along throughout this entire process. So President Obama obviously believes at this point that he has the upper hand, that he can really push the Republicans to accept his point of view on this, and we're just going to have to wait and see as to what Mitch McConnell and Harry Reid come up with, because that may be the last best hope to avert default at this point, Don. There's not that much time left procedurally to get something done, because obviously it has to get out of the Senate and then go over to the House, and as we saw on Saturday, they passed a clean debt limit extension bill in the Senate, or they tried to pass one, and all Republicans blocked it. It didn't get out of the Senate. And so the fact that it has to go back to the House does not give a lot of people a whole lot of time here in Washington. They're running out of time, John.
So we are beginning to see these. There's something fundamental going on in the electorate. This has brought the Republican Party down to its worst numbers in history in terms of approval, and it's just the beginning of the end.
I mean, this is childish. It's silly. You're about to have Chris Christie win an election in New Jersey by probably more than 20 percentage points. it is 390 days to the next election. And they suggest you go back and look at Thatcher in 1983. You go back and look at Reagan in 1982-83. This is the middle of a bloody fight. This is a serious, principled fight. Nobody in this city wants to grant the House Republicans any dignity, but the fact is they are fighting over very profound principles. And when it's over and when the dust settles, the country's going to assess it. And then they're going to discover that Obamacare is a disaster.
And in fact, Anita, I think when we get into next year, here's where the balance of the election lies. Either you get a whole bunch of stories about how wonderfully the President's Affordable Care Act is working, that this person now has health insurance for the first time, or you get a whole bunch of people going, I am now paying six times more for my insurance than I ever did before, and therein lies the election. This will be a distant memory by the time we roll around to September.
Candy, thank you for having me on this morning. I fundamentally disagree with that. I think that the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, will be part of what people are looking at next year, but they're going to be looking at a broader issue, which is the economy, are we growing jobs, and the leadership involved with what we need to do to move to the future. I think that the Republicans right now are, and I agree with Speaker Gingrich, obviously, the party's not dead, but it is doing itself some extraordinary damage in a year that started off for them with them moving forward on immigration reform, trying to broaden their tent. And by the end of this year, if they say, okay, what did we accomplish, they will have pardoned some very negative attitudes. And you got to believe there are people sitting around right now saying, bring back Mitt Romney and his 47% take, because that's better than what's going on now. And the reality is that they're hardening some very negative impressions that exist. It's going to be hard to turn that around.
You know, Governor, I remember distinctly coming out and covering you when you were governor, because you were a new kind of Democrat. You were a DLC Democrat, and the DLC was a group of moderate Democrats, Bill Clinton being probably the most successful one, who got together after the 60s when the Democratic Party was pulled, many felt, way to the left and could not win national elections. Do you think that sort of, should there be a that save Republicans, or you disagree that Republicans are on the
look, I think it's just going to find the middle ground. You just had a couple of people on that are looking for that middle ground, and they're found in the House, they're found in the Senate. Right? There's 20-some members of the House right now who have said that, gee, we would vote for a CR, a clean CR, no strings attached, but not a single one of them was invited to go with Boehner to the White House. This actually right now, this big fight, everybody in America needs to understand this. This is a fight for who's going to be the next Speaker of the House. And we've got about a half or maybe more of the Republicans in the House are saying, we don't want Boehner anymore. And so it's spilled over, and now we have a government shutdown, but we're still paying our employees. We are questioning whether we're going to pay our debts. This is a big mistake for the Republican Party. Look, the Democrats have made mistakes before, and if the Republicans would have just sat back and said, see, we told you Obamacare wasn't going to work, they might have won this battle.
Speaker, do you agree that Speaker Boehner took these things to the point they are because he wanted the state speaker?
Okay, I think, first of all, every speaker does what they have to do to be speaker, otherwise they're not speakers, so it's kind of a silly formula. But notice what's going on. Boehner goes down and says, I'll give you 6 weeks of a clean debt ceiling. The president probably says no. Harry Reid's now trying to redouble the bet and is saying, not only will I not accept a clean debt ceiling, I want you to actually roll back the sequester. Now, at some point, you have to understand, this is a profound fight over the size of the federal government, the size of the federal deficit, and whether or not Washington's going to run the whole country incompetently, as it has with the help.gov. I mean, in a country that has Amazon and Google, the U.S. government can't figure out how to put up a site you can go to. This is a sign of how fundamentally incompetent the bureaucracy is.
Some of the states have done a little better, actually, than the federal website has done. I want to play you quickly in reference to the GOP brand, which we do know in polls has at least taken a current hit, and something I asked Senator Ted Cruz last week.
Do you think you've hurt the Republican Party brand?
Not remotely.
Is this man being unfairly targeted by colleagues, as you know, as well as by Democrats? And do you think the Tea Party, or those who ascribe to Tea Party values, has an outsized influence right now in the Republican Party?
Ted Cruz is a very aggressive articulator of a hardline position that probably 20 or 25% of the country agrees with. He's in some ways much like Boro of Idaho was. He is a dramatic dissenter from the Washington establishment. That also means, by the way, because of his personality, he's really infuriating defenders of the Washington establishment. And I don't think Ted minds that at all.
This is such a bad thing. I'm gonna let you two answer that question in a minute, so stand by. Senator Paul, I know you said that the debt ceiling increases is that big of a deal, but the more you listen to people, the more you read to economists, read what economists have to say, do you think it's worth the risk not to raise the debt ceiling?
I think it's not a good idea to go through the debt ceiling deadline. I think we should go ahead and have an agreement in advance. That being said, though, I think it's also irresponsible for the president, who, when he was a senator, actually voted not to raise the debt ceiling. It's irresponsible for him to scare people. He should be the opposite. The leader of the country should be soothing the markets and saying, we will always pay the interest on our debt. And we do have plenty of revenue. We bring in $250 billion a month, and we have $20 billion in interest payment. There's absolutely no reason ever to default, and a good leader would be saying, we will never default.
Would a good senator be saying, we will never default?
Absolutely, and I'm trying to be that. We should never default. We should never miss a payment. But people have to realize that not raising the debt ceiling means you have to balance your budget. It doesn't mean you default. And people are conflating these two, and they're not the same thing.
So your best calculation, do you think there are enough Republicans in the Senate to join with Democrats to pass an increase in the debt ceiling? What if it came down to the wire and the only thing available was a clean debt ceiling increase? Nothing on it, just increase the debt ceiling.
You know, I think at this point, you know, we had a vote on Saturday, yesterday, and it was to just raise it without any restrictions. And we all voted solidly against raising it without limit and without restrictions. That's what Democrats offered us yesterday. No limit over the next year, year and a half. We raise it as high as it goes, no limit. The American people don't want that. The vast majority of people are afraid of what this huge growth in our deficit is going to do to us. And so I think we have to restrain. And there are two problems, and they're both problems. It is a problem for the marketplace to see us go through a deadline. But in 2011, when we were downgraded because of the burden of how big our debt was, not because of getting close to a deadline. The S&P said we did not do enough to cut spending and not enough to act fiscally responsible. That's why we were downgraded. It can happen again if we don't wake up and do something to manage this debt.
Brianna, so the focus is on the Senate now, since many House members are now taking a break. Tell me about that meeting between the President and Senate Democratic leaders, and what is the White House saying about it, if anything?
The White House really isn't saying much about it. We know from their perspective that it was a good meeting, and they talked about what they're going to do going forward. But we did just get a readout, Don, from a Senate Democratic leadership aide, and let me tell you what this says. It says the meeting was productive. Not really surprising, right? It's all Democrats in the room. It says that they compared notes, reviewed the options for moving forward, and listen to this. It says their conclusion was that while Democrats remain united, Republicans have yet to coalesce behind a clear negotiating position. Now, it says that the president and the leaders have agreed that in coming days, their position, or they should really continue to be discussing with Senate Republican leaders, but their position remains the same. The Democrats are willing to negotiate on anything Republicans want to discuss. And here's the big thing, as soon as we reopen the government and pay our bills. So really back to square one here. It is the White House and Senate Democrats saying, we will talk to you, but first, raise the debt ceiling, reopen the government, or we're not going to talk. So it's really sort of they're sort of digging in, and it's really a hard line that they're taking here on this weekend, where we've seen the White House and Democrats dismiss a House Republican plan, a plan from some Senate Republicans, but we also saw a vote fail in the Senate, Don, which would have been a clean extension of the debt ceiling beyond the midterm elections.
In the meantime, Brianna, people aren't getting paid. People are furloughed.
Right.
There are government, parts of the government that are shut down, parks, monuments. A couple of states are using their own money to keep those monuments open,
right,
like the Grand Canyon and Lady Liberty and Mount Rushmore. And so we're back at square one. The Senate's going to have a session tomorrow, obviously, with just one thing on the agenda. So what can senators do tomorrow to influence the House when they come back to work?
Well, really, and that is just the point. I think more than anything, this isn't all about all senators can do. At this point, it's really between Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, who's appointed Senator Lamar Alexander as the point person in negotiations. We'll be waiting to see if they come up with some sort of framework of a deal that might be palatable to Senate Republicans. Obviously, that's the goal there. And then the question is, will House Republicans accept it? The thinking goes, it's called jamming. That as you get closer to a deadline, one chamber can jam the other, which maybe won't want to take up a certain bill. But when you have so little time left, if you can kind of get some momentum and push them to take something up, they may ultimately have no choice other than sort of swallowing whatever the Senate puts out, or they may just, you know, or then we would see a default. And so that's really the tough choice. Ultimately, we could be seeing the House make, or certainly House Republican leaders make.
No default. We don't want a default because the economy has started to get better. We do not need that, Breonna Keeler. So fingers crossed. Appreciate it, Breonna. Thank you.
Months.
It's the second time Jacqueline Johnson cried next to her son, Kent Grave. The first time, he was being lowered into the ground. This time, he's being pulled out of it.
Did you ever expect you'd have to exhume his body?
No, I didn't expect to have to bury his body.
In June, Kendrick's body was sent to Florida. The Johnsons hired Dr. Bill Anderson to conduct an independent second autopsy. In that autopsy, Anderson told the Johnsons he found evidence that Kendrick died as the result of a blow to the neck and not accidental asphyxia after slipping into a rolled gym mat at school, as investigators in Georgia had said. But what Dr. Anderson did not find shocked them.
We got the body for the second autopsy. That organs, the heart, lungs, liver, etc., were not with the body.
The brain?
Brain. They were all absent.
Every organ from the top of Kendrick's head to his pelvis gone, and his family had no idea.
We have been let down again. And when we buried Kendrick, we thought we was burying Kendrick, not half of Kendrick.
I'm not sure at this point who did not return the organs to the body, but I know when we got the body, the organs were not there.
So, CNN contacted the two entities that had custody of Kendrick's body and access to his organs, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, which conducted the first autopsy in January, and Harrington Funeral Home, which the Johnsons chose to embalm and prepare Kendrick's body for burial days later. A spokeswoman for the state tells CNN after its autopsy, the organs were placed in Johnson's body, the body was closed, then the body was released to the funeral home. State investigators say it's their normal practice, but what happened after his body arrived at the funeral home was anything but normal.
What was in the place of the organs?
Newspaper.
Newspaper.
Dr. Anderson showed me the pictures of Kendrick's body he'd taken during the second autopsy.
Black Friday ad, JCPenney ad. Yes.
Took my newspaper in like he was a garbage can inside his body. It's unbelievable.
I'd imagine that that's a different kind of pain.
Yeah.
Why do you think that there would be newspaper stuffed in your child?
I never heard of that before.
Stole fucking no. Organs.
Neither had the founder of a national embalming academy contacted by CNN, who said it's not consistent with the standards of care in the industry, nor had the president of the National Association of Medical Examiners, who told CNN he's never heard of this practice.
Why would the funeral home discard his organs and stuff them with newspapers?
The question is, why did he tell us?
So what exactly did the Harrington Funeral Home do with Kendrick's organs, and why was he stuffed with old newspaper? We went to their office to find out, but their response to us? No comment. However, in a letter to the Johnson's attorney, Harrington Funeral Home owner Antonio Harrington denies he received Kendrick's organs. He writes in part, his internal organs were destroyed through natural process and henceforth were discarded before the body was sent back to Valdosta. It's another disappointing answer for parents determined to know what happened to their son before and now after his death. And they admit they're struggling.
Unbearable, just about. Only thing can wake you up in the morning is just to keep pushing.
Victor Blackwell joins us now. I mean, this is an unbelievable newspaper inside this young man's body. I understand there's an investigation into where Kendrick Johnson's organs went and why. What do we know about it?
Well, Anderson, we contacted the Georgia Secretary of State's office because they issued licenses to funeral homes. We wanted to check on the history of Harrington Funeral Home. And when we told them why we were calling, they decided that they, too, wanted to know where are Kendrick Johnson's organs, and they wanted to know more about this process, this practice of stuffing bodies with newspapers, something that they'd never heard of either.
How was the family's autopsy doctor able to determine the cause of death?
Yeah, I asked him, if the organs aren't there, how can you determine how Kendrick died? Well, he says that essentially, blunt force trauma was not in the organs. It was in the right side jaw, which was actually noted as bruised during the paramedics' report on the day he was found. He dissected the jaw, which had not been dissected in the first autopsy, found bleeding under the skin. He dissected the left side as well, did not find the bleeding, and he concluded that that bruising indicated, also with the bleeding, that there was blunt force trauma that Hendrick took below to the
skin. I hadn't initially it looks all the mats are rolled really tightly, except for the one that Kendrick was found in. That seems to have had a large opening.
Well, there you have it. Latest news going on. So, let's see. Let me kill this real quick. Sorry about that. But, yeah, the vets are throwing a fit in D.C., good, but it's too late, like I say. I don't know what to say about all this bullshit. It's coming to a sad end, I'm sure, so we're going to have to live with it, whether we like it or not. That's the sad part about it. But anyway, I guess I need to unmute my co-host, because I've been running clips for the past hour. But anyway, welcome everybody to the Ron Rick Show, live on BTR. It is Sunday, the 13th. Of October, and we got, what, 3 more days to go before it's all over with? Well, I personally don't care. Whatever happens, happens. But I want to welcome our guest here, guest 6858. Welcome to the Ron Rex Show. And Fat Tub Girl, how you doing this evening? How's the tub treating you? Anyway, Antoinette, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hello, Ron.
Hello. I'm to hear your name now.
Pardon?
Fairly
me?
Well. I'm just glad to see that you're changing your name, your selective name you're changing it from.
Yes, I'm going to be Gossip Girl. I'm going to be BTR Gossip Girl. Yeah, but you know what? I might as well run the gossip just like everybody else does, shoot. And then, you know what? See, I can even start my own blog talk show. And name it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give them something to talk about.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah.
And then come here when you're not on. Then when you're on, I'll be here. But
yeah, well,
I'll start my
go,
own show
like
and
said,
call it "Let's Give It Something to Talk About" by Gossip
well,
Girl.
Well, this is the last
Gossip
night for
Girl.
This show, you know. This is the last night for this show, anyway. Yeah, this
is
the last
night. No.
It's going to.
Why is that?
Yeah, it's going to be because I'm selling it, and it's going to be called the Tub O' Lard Boy Show, Tub O' Lard Boy, and it'll be simulcasted, I'm sure.
Oh. Yeah,
right. Okay.
Well, that's a good thing I found out at the last minute.
Yeah, well, not very likely, but we want to talk gossip and bullshit. There we go. That's more bullshit I just handed you. Lord boy.
You just had to throw that in there.
Absolutely. The opportunity. When I seen this Fat Tub Girl on, I was like, oh, my God, that is the perfect BTR gossip. Oh, my God. You got to spread the word. Spread the word of gossip.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. And that's
well, the latest
I said,
gossip I heard, girlfriend, latest gossip I heard, girlfriend, was these old geezer veterans are up there in D.C. biting the pigs up there. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
You believe that? And he took the fence that they used to talk over, and he threw it against the White House fence. Ain't that special. Anyway.
Yeah.
More power
wasn't
to
that
them.
Something?
Bless their loving hearts. Bless their loving hearts. I don't give a shit.
Well,
I'm
betting nobody to play with. But you see where... The riot
but they only had a few cops there. There weren't enough cops. Them vets really wanted to snap off. They could take them out real quick. There weren't enough cops there to fuck with.
I don't do that.
Well, I don't either, and they didn't. They kept her cool, but they're letting them know this is a warning shot. You've been warned. You know? What's to come? That's what I think. This shit ain't over. This is just the beginning.
I don't know. They said this was the beginning. From what I've seen today, but of course I listened to alternative radio. I listened to that.
What's on it? It's on it. The network's finally picking it up, but they ain't saying much about it.
Alternative radio where they had people that were there, that were, you know, talking about what's going on and stuff. And
right.
You know, they were saying this is just the beginning.
That's right. And that's right.
This is just the beginning. And they said, huh, you thought Egypt was bad. You haven't seen nothing yet. And I'm like, oh, Lord, please don't let it get like that.
I told you so. Anthony, am I wrong? Did I tell you this? October.
Yeah, you told me.
I said October.
Dude, that doesn't mean it has to become a reality.
Well, I can't help that, but I'm not a future teller. I don't tell the future. I'm not a psychic. You know what I mean?
Well, you're trying to
but
be.
I'm not. I'm just doing the mathematics on this. Believe it. You can learn a lot with numbers. Numbers tell you a lot of stories. Believe it or not, you know how to use them. You know, and anybody don't? I know and understand. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to translate a little bit of this. When I said some shit's going to happen in October, I wasn't bullshitting you, man. I just see it. I see it coming. And like I said, I started into this over 4 years ago. Started watching the gas prices real closely. I watched the gas prices. Honestly, I watched these prices.
Yeah.
Then I watched the market. And guess what comes up tomorrow? Oh, no, Tuesday,
what?
The bond market's open. The bond market's up Tuesday. Let's see how much they get this. Wow.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Let's see what money's worth now. It's really the market. It's looking okay. Yeah, but it's shaking a motherfucker. But yeah, watch these bond markets open. See what happens. They're playing this bullshit Russian roulette. The 17th, you got 3 more days to make your fucking mind up. You ain't got much time. You're already out of time anyway. It's pretty well over anyway. And then if they do come up with some type of deal, it's going to be a short term run. And this Obamacare is a fucking train wreck. And it's costing, what, $1.5 billion a week now to deal with this shit? Come on, man. That's insane.
Yeah. It's,
You know, I'm going to watch the CNN thing.
You remember
CNN
when Obama
saying,
first got elected?
Mm-hmm.
And people were making foolish statements.
Right.
And I heard them say, oh, I hope he fails. You know, and I was like, why would you hope that he failed? If he falls,
right.
Then the country falls. So why would you hope that the man fails?
Well, he is failing.
Yeah. But I'm saying they said this when
Badly.
He first started his right. presidency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from day one.
But
not second term, first term.
But like
term.
I said, I think this has been planned years ago.
Oh,
you know, it's... It's just the thing of it is, if you're going to do something like that, you're going to get it done. But the problem is, since January, we've had a lot of disruptions at the White House. A lot of disruptions. We had all these little scandals popping up left and right. You know, the sequester, the financial cliff. What the fuck? Don't lie to us. Tell us the truth. You done fucked up. You ain't no more money. You ain't got no more money. You broke us. We're done. It's over. But here's what I'm telling you. On the 17th of this month, they ain't got your shit together. And this goes into a full collapse, because the government shutdown. It's usually the first phase how it starts. Okay, if it's full government shutdown, that Social Security check you're expecting on the first month, forget it. It's gone. You ain't getting it. It is over.
But that doesn't come from the federal government. That comes from the IRS.
It don't matter where it comes from. It's all going to get locked up. You know, it's at somebody else's phone.
Okay.
Everybody hijacks my charger here. It's $4.99 a minute using my airspace. Oh, I'm sorry.
Huh?
Go ahead. I told my buddy it's $4.99 a minute for my airspace.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, you just don't come up when I'm on live on the radio and start talking to somebody on a telephone. That's kind of rude, isn't it? So it's my airspace. Don't worry, I'll put it on your bill. Remember, if you don't pay your balance by the due date, I charge $37 a week and $5 a day to do mess. So, and it charges every week. So every Saturday,
did you give him a due date?
Charge your account. Yeah.
He didn't get a due date.
10 years from now. 10 years from now.
No, 10 years from now.
Break out that he walk back house. So.
Pardon
you owe me.
Me
a minute. He owes me for a minute.
Oh,
but
Lord.
But the fees will eat you up. You remember, I'm charging $5 a day and $37 every Saturday until he pays the balance. It's like a bank.
Mm-mm-mm.
Like a bank could do. Yeah, rob ya.
Yeah.
And legally do it. Legal.
So you're
legal
getting
steal.
In the banker's market, huh?
Why not?
Getting in
the
extortion market.
Can't lick him, join him, man. You got to join
him. So you want to be an extortionist.
No. You agreed to the terms when you came in. You didn't agree to it. You did it. You said, okay, I'll do that.
Usury fees and everything, huh?
Oh, yeah, everything. Surcharges. Oh, yeah, everything. Yeah. Local tax.
The same extortion
tax.
Greed. Thought you were against
oxygen
greed.
Oxygen tax, God tax. Oh, no, I'm getting into it now. I'm like the swing of things. That's what makes it go, man, because you really get into it. You know, it's so fun to steal from people. It's so great. It's, well, they say it, rejuvenating. It's real rejuvenating.
Oh, rejuvenating. Okay.
Rejuvenating, yeah. Read you. I don't know. I'm retarded tonight. Like every night I'm on the air. But I just pretty well see it. This, you know.
Uh-huh.
Wait, what are we going to do? What are we, Antoinette, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?
Well, there's nothing we can do about what they decide in D.C.
Well,
you know,
I was on a show. I was on a show the other night, and the host asked me, "What would you do if you could go talk to the Senate and the House and whoever else? All these people, go talk to them all one time, and Obama, the president, and tell them what to do. You know what to do to fix this.
Go
right?
back to work. What? Go back to work.
No. That was not my reply. Mm-mm. You know me. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't give
them
common sense. I looked at it as more as a corporate CEO executive myself, being talking to a mass crowd of all nothing but politicians up in D.C.
Yeah.
in the House or whatever. And my comeback on that was, you're all fucking fired. Get out of my building. And you ain't getting your last severance pay. It's a fucking bricks.
Well,
that's
you have to make sure that's not in their contracts.
Fuck them. They're nil and void. No more. They're gone. Yep.
Well, that may not be a bad idea. But the only thing
and
is,
all them dress wearers,
what does that
all the dress wearers,
do you know?
All the dress wearers, Supreme Court, they're fired too. Everybody's got to go. Everybody's gone.
Do you know who joined the march? So
Sarah
those Palin. Tell you it's been infiltrated. Yeah, so you know it's been infiltrated now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've
been
injected.
So how far is it
going to
go now? Pardon me?
You know, I can see Alaska from my backyard. Or Russia. I see Russia from my backyard.
Yeah,
I didn't see Alaska. What the fuck? It was there. Oh, God, see how much I like her, huh? No.
Yeah. But she joined it, and I said, well, that's the end of that.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever success that they thought they were going to have, they done lost
right.
it when she joined it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not
that
going
shit.
Anywhere.
I did like the part where they cut the fences up, you know, and threw them on the front of the White House. That was cool.
Yeah. Yep. And they said when they put them back up, they'll be there to cut them back down.
Yep. Absolutely. There you go. They were saying, they were chanting, you work for us. You work for us.
Yeah.
You know?
Wasn't that something?
Uh-huh.
But
right.
I look for it to grow more now. But those vets don't play. You know, you get them older vets,
right.
they do not play. Mm. They are very stern.
Nope.
And.
Well, they've been through the system. They've been through the system. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know. I know some poor veterans that are out home and gone crazy, you know, pretty bad because of the shit. But some of them died, you know. They just
a lot of them died,
you know.
Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. And it's senseless wars, man, senseless bullshit. Mm-hmm.
Well, they were
mm-hmm.
bankers' wars. They were for the banks. How dare you
absolutely.
Call it senseless when the bankers need their Federal Reserve
right.
notes? They need
right.
their digital currency. How dare you say that?
Right, right. Well, I have another caller on the board. Let's bring somebody else on here real quick.
Okay.
803, you're on the air. You're unmuted. I guess 803
maybe
has nothing to say.
803 was listening.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be listening.
That's difficult. It sounds familiar, but I can't place who it goes with now. I don't know, but you know, just certain things just go together. You know, it's like, okay, I know I've heard that zip code before, but I can't place who it goes with
zip
now.
Zip code. Code.
Not oh, Lord Jesus. Area code.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that many times. Well, they don't want to talk, so I'll just put them back on mute. They want to talk, say something in chat room, let us know who you are, we'll let you back on.
Yeah.
We are moderators here. We moderate you. We're trying to learn how we're trying to learn how to be like the Third Reich. You know, control everything you say.
Oh, really?
Comrade, broad lines.
Oh, yeah. My.
Well, you got to get in with swing things, Antoinette. If, you know, Obama's dictator, you hail Obama. You think about it.
Oh, so are we doing this the German way? The Hitler way?
Ain't that the way they all do it? Ain't that how they all did it?
Guten Tag.
Guten Tag. Yeah, yeah. Be kind, my Schatzi.
Yeah. So now I know the reason why it was mandatory that we had to take German in elementary school and middle school was for this day, huh? They were preparing us from a young age.
Well, they've been fucking
German
us up
was
since
mandatory.
A young age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, German was mandatory when I was in school. In middle school, so that was the Lord, I'm not even going to say, wow, that really sounds old.
Well, yeah. Was that before or after the wheel was invented? I need to know.
I don't know if they had a wheel then or not. I think they were still trying to move the square.
You know, I didn't know if you went to school by horseback or you walked or, you know. My favorite one.
I think my daddy carried me on his back.
Oh, that's nice. Convenient.
Yeah. My daddy got down like he was a horse. And then, you know, we had a St. Bernard, so we would ride him like a horse.
Oh, yeah.
It was a good thing I was a tiny little thin child. Because Lord knows if I had any weight to me.
My sister used to raise
them. Yeah, they're beautiful dogs.
Yeah, they are. She had one named Baron von Schultz. You know, the dogs that are rich are like to have three names, like a human.
Mm-hmm.
But Baron von Schultz was their very first one. He's a big old fella. She got married, and they bought a house. You know, the American dream shit, you know. And they were working on a garden. I was out there helping. We were all drinking beer. We had a half-barrel beer. We was barbecuing, all kinds of stuff. Everybody was hanging out. Well, I was tilling the garden, and I had this big 32-ounce tumbler glass full of beer, all right? Well, I went to go get my beer. I shut off the tiller, walked out to get my beer, and here's this big St. Bernard out in the middle of the yard with that glass shoved up his nose, over his nose, all right? It was a muzzle. He drank my beer, son of a bitch. And so I had to go wash the glass, go through all that, you know, because I don't want St. Bernard to slobber.
You just continue to drink it.
Okay, I tried to make it nice, Antoinette. I didn't want to. I was trying to be nice. Yeah, shit, I just put the filter back up, got back to business. No,
No, you know what our St. Bernard's name was? Frisbee. Our St. Bernard's name was Frisbee.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, anyway, let me finish my St. Bernard story real quick. Anyway, Baron had a big water bowl that my nephew made for him, okay? And, it's made out of concrete, so he couldn't flip it over. Anyway, and this thing would hold about 3 gallons of water, all right? About 3 gallons of water. Well, we're sitting on the patio, and I'm next to that half barrel of beer next to that tapper. And it's got a hose, all right? Well, everybody's walking around talking and bullshitting and partying, blah, 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 blah. Baron's behind me next to his water bowl, and I'm filling it with beer. When people ain't looking, I fill that bowl full of beer. I got this dog so drunk. Anyway,
oh, you ought to be ashamed.
The dog walked out the middle of the yard and collapsed. He was passed out drunk. Tongue hanging out, slobbering, snoring like a big drunkard. Well, anyway.
What do you men get out of getting animals drunk?
Well, I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to. He's thirsty and he wanted some. He kept licking me while I stopped pouring. He started licking me and begging for it. He's an alcoholic.
Anyway, how did he get there?
He stole my beer.
Uh-huh.
He started it. Anyway, my sister ran out there, thought the dog just died on her. Okay, she's flipping out. And she don't know anything. She's crying, mad. She's drunk, crying. It's funnier than hell. I wish I had a video recorder back then. God, it would have been priceless. Anyway, my brother goes, Diane, your brother Ronnie got your dog drunk. He played in the bowl behind by the table where Ronnie's sitting in the half barrel tapping right. What do you think he's been doing? He's been pouring beer in that dog's bowl. The dog's been drinking it. He loved beer.
I got a better one for you.
Okay.
My Uncle Duck would only ride horses. He had a horse. He was a Palomino. His name was Yankee.
Uh-huh.
My uncle would ride that horse everywhere he went. And he went to the bar and told them to give him a drink, you know, outside. Mm-hmm. And they told him to come in, and he told them, well, he couldn't because he had his horse with him. So they told him to bring him in. Now, can you imagine the people at the bar sitting there, and you see a horse walking in? And my uncle would get a fifth. So he would take some, and then he would pour some down Yankee's throat. So when my uncle drank too. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So then when they would come back, the horse would come in and, you know, go to the stable. And then you had to go and look for my Uncle Duck. Because somewhere along the course of the way, Yankee would get mad and throw him off in the ditch.
Oh God!
It was like that all the time.
Yeah.
But he was a beautiful horse.
Oh yeah.
A Yankee drink.
I ain't got one of his mules drunk. I never thought about getting my mules drunk, but I don't purposely give alcohol. But no. But,
my uncle did. Every time he drank Yankee drink, he would open up a pitch and he'd take some, then he'd pour some down Yankee's throat, and then he would drink some more, and he'd pour some down Yankee's throat.
Right. But that St. Bernard, it amazed me he liked beer so much. That was kind of odd. Some dogs drink beer, but he loved it. He loved beer. He just loved it. But Baron was a character. He was a trip. He was a smart dog. We all got together. You know, we're going to my sister's house, which is about 45 miles away from our house. And we're going there for Thanksgiving dinner. You know, she cooked turkey, did everything. She did it all. You know, of course, people brought shit. But we get to her house, and she's sitting there in a recliner with her legs crossed, smoking a cigarette, madder than, you know, hell. She's mad at the world and the planet along with it. You know what I mean?
Well, you got her dog drunk. I don't blame her.
No. This is way after that. Well, what she had done is she took the turkey out of the oven. Okay, it's been off for a while. It's sitting in there. She took it out and set up on the counter, and the dog got it. He got it all. He ate every bit of 22 pounds. It was his. And he didn't play around about it. He's laying on the floor, slobbered, happier than all get out. Sister's madder than hell. Everybody's drove all this way. There's no turkey. So we had to drive back 45 miles back to Kentucky Fried Chicken. So that's what we had for Thanksgiving dinner. Then drive 45 miles back to the house with it. That was fun. But old Baron had his turkey dinner.
We had a dog. His name was King. And King ate the ham for one holiday. And my mom made this beautiful ham. And the dog ate it. And we had my mom and my parents had just got new furniture in the living room. And she came in, and King was stretched out on the couch.
Oh, yeah. Nap time.
Oh, my mom was
you.
So upset. But I'm going to put a link in the chat room. This is where the riot police were. I think this is one where the riot police were beating the vets.
Okay.
Yeah, the White House riot police beat elderly vets. Now, I understand that they're nothing to play with, but they, you know, you don't have no right to be putting your hands on no elderly people. Whatever happened to people respecting their elders?
Them submissions don't care. They're there for the money and think they got power. I think I played this one. Yeah.
Did you?
I played it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but I thought that was just terrible.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, when you look at the videos, there ain't that many cops in that first scenario of that.
No.
So, you know, there's more people there. They could have took them cops out. They couldn't have stood a chance that many people hitting them one time. I got a funny story for you about dogs, since we're talking about dog gossip tonight. Some friends of mine, his mom and dad bought a Boston Terrier, kind of a black dog, not very tall, not very big dog. Anyway, you know, it's got a smashed-looking face kind of looking thing. Well, they had the dog. They had a fence put in for the dog and everything on the property. And his dad put some money into this dog. Anyway, had the door, you know, the flat thing for the door put on the house for the dog to get in and out of the house. So the dog get in and out of the house. But anyway, they decided to go on, take a weekend out to the lake. All right, go camping for the weekend. So dog had plenty of water and food. There's nothing wrong. He's fine. So anyway, I was, you know, on the road and I ran into him. I was behind him. So I just followed on to see what they did. Caught any fish, didn't get, you know, how their weekend was. Well, I pulled up behind their van. They got, hey, Ron, what's going on? Hey, man, blah, 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 blah. Man, you want to see what we did, what we caught, blah, blah. I said, well, cool, you know, blah. When my buddy Donnie's dad walks in the house. And next to know, I hear hollering, all right?
Excuse me.
But his mom's outside, so I don't know who he's hollering at, all right? Anyway, next thing I know, I heard the dog yell, all right? And then Donnie's dad walked out of the house and shot the dog in the yard. He emptied a .45 clip into this dog.
Shot
it. Bap, 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 bap,
bap. Oh, that's terrible.
You know? Well, you'll find out why here in a minute. Anyway, so I'm ducking down by my car. I'm like, wow, his daddy's dead, flipped out. What the hell, man, you know? So anyway, Donnie goes, no, I ain't going to shoot none of you people. Son of a bitching dog, he had to go. Anyway, he's cussing, spitting, madder than hell. I mean, his face is 10 shades of red. He's pissed off, mad. Anyway, once y'all calmed down, we got to go in the house. It looked like Katrina, Sandy, and Tina, and Ike, and everybody else were in this house. This destroyed the whole fucking house. I mean, destroyed it. Television, like a pizza, couch, chairs, kitchen table, bedrooms, everything. Everything in the house was sawed up, chewed up into sawdust. This, everything. The cabinet doors and the cabinets were off, chewed up. This dog fucked that house up bad. So, I mean, you can see why he shot that dog.
he still didn't have to shoot him.
He shot him. I mean, that's a lot of stuff to have to replace. That man, you know, and insurance don't cover that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, killing a dog isn't going to change the price of replacing everything.
Well, I understand, but you know, I kind of felt for him. You know, I'm not saying do it. You know, but a dog gets sick or a dog gets bad. You know, people us folks in the woods, we have different ways of dealing with that. You know. We don't run to the vet, you know, spend all the money to put them down. We don't do that. You know, dog gets sick and it's dying, you know.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, if you don't. But that was crazy. That's one of the experiences of life you just won't ever forget. You know what I mean? Once you've been to that traumatic thing, you don't remember that. But his dad was pretty pissed. He had no house to walk into. He didn't have a bed to sleep on. Only thing left of the beds were springs. And how a dog could do that in 2000, that dog was busy 24 hours a day for that weekend. 2 days. They were gone for 2 days. And that dog did that much damage.
He must have got hungry. What kind of dog was it? Was that the St. Bernard also?
Boston Terrier. Boston, some type of Boston Terrier thing. He's a black dog, about maybe 12 inches tall. Not very big dog.
Mm-hmm.
He was a cool dog. Mm. His name was Butch.
Oh, I don't like him.
His name was Butch. Now his name's Compost. Talking to God many, many years ago. Things were different then. But, Well, shit. I was in high school. That's how far back I'm talking.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah. Yeah, it was wild. Yeah, I'll never.
When you
that.
Were in high school, I was out of school.
Yeah, you done had your kids by then, I think, didn't you? Something like that. Or
I never had college. Kids. I never had kids.
You didn't?
I had children.
You didn't? What
no,
are them?
I had children. Children.
You didn't have no kids?
No, no goats. I had children.
Why not?
Because I happen to love my children. I didn't want goats. But now, look, let me ask you something. Now, do you think that this marching and everything is going to make, any bit of difference?
No, of course not. Why would it?
Well, do you think if it grows, I mean, if they had the truckers, and of course you have Sarah Palin there now, and you know that's going to just draw a huge crowd.
What is she trying to sell? You got to ask that question. What is Sarah Palin trying to sell?
Well,
I
guess her support for the Republican.
I
don't know. But, you know, just the fact that she was there.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, the truckers were going to impeach Obama. So, of course, you know, Sarah Palin had to be there.
Well, Ron Paul should have been there. Ron Paul should have been there. And what's the other guy that ran for president once? Ross Perot. You know?
Is Ross Perot still around? I mean, no disrespect,
I don't know.
But is he still around? I mean, because I know he was elderly, you know, or when he was running. Wasn't he close to 80 then?
Yeah.
And that was over 10 or 15 years ago.
But old Ron Paul, I give him, you know, I tip my hat to him. I salute him. But here's the thing about that. If he was there, he'd probably say something like this. I told you so. Told you so. Don't choke on that.
No, it's just daggone cold. It's getting on my nerves. Pardon me?
It's still
the weather keeps changing. Pardon me?
Yes, it does. Yep. It'll mess with you.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I just got through that bronchitis. I feel great now, though.
Oh, see, I hope I don't get... Lord, it's been years since I had bronchitis. I don't want to see that again. I had bronchitis that turned into pneumonia once.
Oh, me too. I've been there. I laid in the hospital for a long time with that. And
no,
I don't like
hospital. I don't either.
You know the worst thing about hospitals is, the really worst thing about hospitals are, is
I'm
you can't
home.
Smoke in them and they don't have a bar. You can't smoke in them and they don't have a bar. That's what I hate about them.
Well, here, you can't even smoke outside of the hospital.
Oh, yeah, they
you know,
said that
once you go outside,
sir.
You can't smoke on the hospital grounds, not even in your car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what they say here, too. I do it all the time. No, I don't give a shit. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care.
But now,
what
it's
gonna say to me?
March. Put your cigarette out and you better not continue to do it. But now, if this march continues to get, if it grows, especially since, you know, when more veterans find out how these vets were treated, well, not just the vets, but, you know, their families and things like that, you don't think that's going to draw more people?
Right.
Or just the thought that they tore down that barrier and threw it on the White House lawn.
Right, but I'm just, it's the beginning. It's just the beginning of it.
Yes, but do you think that President Barack Obama should have came out and addressed the group?
If he had the balls to do it.
Yeah, but that's not what I asked you. I asked you, do you think?
So what, what's the name, John Boehner? You know, he should have been out there too.
Yeah. So you think that they should have addressed the group?
They don't give a shit. They'll second-hand it. they'll get the secondhand information, and they'll say, well, blah, 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 blah. I know you're upset. Look, we're going to fuck you a little more. Just hold on.
Well, they didn't even give him a pacifier. They didn't even try to pacify him at all. They just act like they weren't even there. So do you think that was in their best interest? Yeah, but do you think that was in their best interest when you have all of these different groups that are upset with you that you didn't at least address them?
Well, I think it is in their best interest to show who they really are. That's why I see that. Since they didn't show up, didn't say nothing to nobody, didn't try any way to explain something, and they're still playing this little bullshit game with the economy and this medical coverage and telling the people the gospel truth. But the problem is they've gotten sloppy, like I said before in my shows. They have gotten sloppy, and we're catching it. People are waking up. That's what's waking these people up. This Obamacare, you're talking about people paying six times more for medical coverage.
Yeah.
You're being forced into spending money you don't have in the first place, but you're being threatened by a law that forces you to spend money to pay the corporate asshole. That's what you're being done to you.
When the employment rate is so high, high as far as in unemployment.
Right.
That
That's
is so
right.
Many people
exactly.
that are unemployment now. Unemployed.
Right.
Oh, forgive me.
Right.
And
so
then,
you're trying to, it's like the last fucking. Get one more in before it's over. You know what I'm saying?
You're trying to implement something that you know people can't afford.
Right. But you're trying to suck the last penny out of the sponge. Last one.
Yeah.
Squeeze that penny. Get all you can and run. It ain't going to work that way. I don't see it working that way. But, I mean, it seems what they're trying to do. But I brought this up about the seatbelt law. A lot of people thought I was crazy when I argued the point of this. And I've been ticketed for it and won it in court, beat it in court. It ain't your choice. If I want to wear that fucking belt, I'll wear it. If I don't, I will not. That's my safety. You don't own me. Even though you own, like I said, the birth certificate, there we go again. Okay. Then they own you. Sure they do.
Mm-hmm.
As a corporation. So, I personally don't care. I'll wear that seatbelt if I want to. If I don't, I won't do it either. Write all you want. I ain't signing shit. I ain't answering your questions. And I need your billing information. That's what they get from me every time. And I'm not scared of them. Send me to jail. No problem. Just another place. No big deal. I've been there. I've been to jail. They don't scare me. I love it. I love going to jail. When I walk in the door, class is on, kids. You're going to be telling some shit that's going to blow your mind. What are you in for? I'll play jailhouse lawyer all day long and have fun with it. You know?
I bet you would.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm not going to jail for nobody.
Mr. Rick, we need you to sign your fingerprint card right here, buddy. Uh-uh. Ain't signing nothing. Ain't touching it. Well, you have to. No, I don't. And no, I ain't. So there you go. Party on, Garth. Ain't happening. Mm-mm. You just sign your inventory here. No, ain't doing that. You're liable for everything. I think I had about $20,000 in my wallet. Where's it at?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll play them. Mm-hmm. Trust me. I'll piss them off. And I don't care if you beat me up. Go ahead, beat me up. That's more money for me. I don't care. You better hope I die. But when I die, my family and friends are going to be well off. You know, they know. They know what to do. So, fine. Party on. And there's more of me. More of them, you know. I have a lot of friends. So... that's the way it's got to be. You know, you just can't if I did something intentionally wrong to somebody, if there was a victim involved with something I did, or damage I've done, or a fraud I committed, I would own up to. But if I don't do none of things, uh-uh. Never. I don't go by it.
Okay. Look. Now, Pianchi said, hello, Ron. Not corroborative when he's arrested.
No, I don't cooperate with nobody. I don't have to. You don't have to. Nobody has to. Everybody forgets that Fifth Amendment. Right to remain silent? Use it. Be very silent. Don't answer questions. Because that's how they get you, when you start answering questions. Well, sir, did you know why I stopped you? I was going a little too fast. Just admitted to you did it. Just admitted it. So I'll put that little note in the back here for the judge. See, well, when I stopped him and asked him... why did you, you know why I stopped you? He said, I might have been speeding a little bit, going a little too fast. Admission of guilt.
Yeah.
I've seen prosecutors do it. But, Mr. Jones, you said to the officer, thought you might have been going a little too fast. Is that true, sir? Well, yes. Okay, guilty. Pass. See? Didn't hurt nobody. Didn't do nothing nobody. Doing 3 miles all over speed limit and you got to pay $100,000 type shit. And I'm not, you know, I don't know if that's true. I don't think it's about $100, so. But still, that's not the point. And then when a little town next to me puts in the newspaper, which I got the clip that states clearly that are in it for the money, it says we are going to in place this ordinance so that officers can pull people over for not wearing a seatbelt. And we will charge them $50, which is $25 more than the state law requires, because we need revenue. Because we need revenue. What?
Well, isn't that what they do all of that stuff is for?
Yeah, but why would they actually admit to doing it for money? You see what I'm saying? They actually admitted they were going to pull you over for not wearing a seatbelt, for turning on your fucking radio, for talking to your pastor, or eating a hamburger while you're driving, or just seatbelt alone not being on, and charge you twice the money. See what I mean? What does that tell you?
Yes.
I mean,
what they're all about. They're not for the people.
No. No, 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 no. Now they got this new digital board up there in front of the municipal building, they call it. Up there, a little flashing thing. It changes colors and says all kinds of stupid shit. All these different little patterns. I mean, damn, the seatbelt law must have passed. That's what I said. But it didn't. It failed badly. It fell badly. The people actually stood up to it, you know.
Well, look, now on top of everything that was going on this weekend, pardon me?
I sent ripples through the neighborhood. I started asking people on the street what they thought about the article.
Oh, well, that was good.
Yeah, worked out pretty good, especially when they had their next town meeting. The whole town showed up.
Very good.
All 2009 people showed up.
So well, there you that's go. Good.
Well, yeah. People can't afford this, man. We can't afford to keep supporting people. Jesus, man. It's crazy.
Well, look, now, on top of the march that you had this weekend, they had a glitch in the system where people didn't receive their food stamps.
Of course.
Now, could you see? I put the link in the chat room.
Yeah.
Now, can you see these people all showing up to Washington? I think they may have got them now. Yeah.
It could be. Well, we got a caller on the board. It's a slow night here on this show, but that's all right. We'll see who it is.
I got another link. Go ahead.
All right. Who is you is?
Who is you is? Oh, Lord.
Welcome, block caller, to the Ron Rex Show, live on BTR. How are you this evening?
I was talking about that the other day.
Hey, Ron.
How you doing?
Hello, Cynthia. How are you?
How are you guys doing tonight?
Oh, well, still fighting the cold, but well, how about yourself?
Doing good. I'm actually letting my cousin listen to you guys.
Oh,
don't do that to nobody. Don't do that to nobody. What's wrong with you? Don't do that to people. Jesus Christ. Damn, man. We are uncorruptors. We uncorrupt people.
Well, I told her this was a good night.
A good night? Oh, shit. Calm. Yeah, we're very calm. Tim and Pedro. Matter of fact, we're getting ready to, what is that we do? Meditate. It's the meditate hour on the Ron Rex Show on PTR. You know how shit goes? You know, when you meditate, you gotta moan. Okay.
No, well, Pianchi and I both put a link in. Both of us were on the same train of thought about
you both got a link
China.
In? Is that what you said?
Link.
You both got a link?
Link.
Oh, link.
L-I-N-K. Link.
I didn't know you had a car internet. A Lincoln? Shit, nice. Bianchi's got a Lincoln, too? Damn.
Okay,
what tell me a Lincoln?
Rick.
Lincoln Continental.
I said
by
Link.
Ford.
Link. Link.
You know,
L-I-N-K.
You said Lincoln.
So
you said Lincoln.
Bianchi put one in, and I put one in. Bianchi's is debt ceiling. China calls for raw to be de-Americanized.
Well, hey, Bianchi,
I
remember Tuesday
in,
the bond markets are opening on Tuesday, Bianchi. The bond markets will be open on Tuesday. Let's see how it goes. Let's see how they rally in the markets Tuesday. I can't wait for this.
Yeah.
Government
and
shut
I
down
put one in,
effort,
big lender.
Or day after.
That's going to be terrible. Big lender China urges U.S. to avoid bankruptcy. But we're already bankrupt.
Yeah, how can we avoid already done? We got another caller here. I'll put him on.
What's
okay.
going on?
Hello, Kala.
Good evening.
Hello, Jay. How are you?
All right. How y'all doing?
All right.
Just spreading the corruption around the world. I'm doing great, man.
I think it's already done that on its own.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So where do you think it's going starting tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow's Monday. Nothing. Same old shit. Nothing.
Well, they may still be out there protesting.
Are you talking about
the
protesters? I don't know. I don't know. I couldn't say. I've not looked at no live feed from D.C. yet or nothing. I didn't have a chance. I was pretty busy.
Right.
So I'm
hopefully
get after
they don't,
the show.
Hopefully they don't shoot nobody if you go in there.
Oh, I hope not.
You know, because they, you know, I'm just still thinking about that lady that they killed. You know, they killed her. And nobody stopped.
I tell you,
people should be outraged with that right now. People,
yes,
you don't hear that on the news.
It
like
should
that,
be
you know?
A major outrage behind that. You know,
you
took the baby out the car, which thank God you took the baby out.
Right.
But in
they're willing to kill
out.
Women. That means
right.
that's it. It's there's no holes barred. I mean, are
right.
you serious?
You took the baby out, so you knew that she didn't have any weapons. Because if she did, you wouldn't have got the baby out that
right.
easy. So there was no need
right.
to shoot her.
Well, I tell you what. Let them shoot one of them veterans up there in D.C. and watch what happens.
Well, they just got finished beating one.
I know, but they didn't shoot.
I put
shoot
the
him.
Link in the room. No, but. How do you think people are elderly vet?
Yeah, man. They be disrespecting our mm-hmm. elders, too, man. Sometimes I've seen
yeah.
the way some of these cops mistreat, you know, people of or you know, any age. And they just, like, you
oh,
know,
yeah.
sometimes they
absolutely.
Over. You know, but it's also the structure, man. I mean, the way they've been structured to do, you know, to deal with people, you know, on a certain
mm-hmm.
basis, you know. And,
yeah.
You know, the system is crazy. I'll tell you one thing. The system is also can get you killed.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, I'm serious, not no, you know, oh, well, you know, this is my theory or, you know.
No, but it
this
can.
Is why I think I've witnessed some crazy stuff this last week that I said, oh, no, no, no.
Oh, my.
You know, I said the government will blatantly... They'll put you in harm's way just like they send you out to war.
Mm.
I don't know if any of y'all had the privilege to serve for jury duty.
No, I can't.
Oh, so you very lucky.
I don't know if you want to call it lucky, but...
Yeah, it's very lucky, I tell you that much, because what they pay here in New York City for jury duty and the inconvenience that they put on people, it is not fun at all. And it doesn't encourage people to be part of, you know, the system, if that, as they call it. You know, they say, oh, well, you know, you have, as a citizen, you know, you have power to you know, voice your opinion or, you know, that's a bunch of BS.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They, first of all, if you're a United States citizen, you are mandatory to report to jury duty or you will be arrested. How about that?
I'm exempt.
You are very lucky, like I said.
Yeah. Which I can agree with that. I would never want to hold anybody's fate in my hands.
That's what I told them when they asked me. But it gets even more crazier because, you know, these people, they want you to participate, but I don't know how it is in other states, but here in New York City, where I found out myself, is when they assign you to a case, now they bring you in front of the prosecutors, the lawyers, the defendant, and the judge. And, you know, basically they explain, you know, the case to you. And if you have any issues with, you know, being part of it, you know, you get the chance to speak about it, you know, after they explain themselves about the case, and they actually, you know, speak right in front of the defendant. But what interests me about, you know, this situation is that they actually tell you, they read out your government name for the record right in front of the defendant, which, depending what kind of situation it is, you know, you could, your life could be in danger. So I don't know if people heard. That's why I have people in the past, you know, have been manipulated or threatened, you know, when they're a juror, you know, and mm-hmm. you hear about people either getting, you know, threatened or actually, you know, killed.
Yeah.
And most of the time, you know, it has to do with a lot of, I would say, mishandling of people's information.
Yeah.
You know? And the way they have the system set up, I mean, the system is totally crazy. I mean, as far as to have, you know, you explain, or not even explain, but just be, you know, too much information in front of, you know, for them, for cheap. $40 a day is not a lot of money.
No, it's not.
That's like almost $5 an hour, if that, for a day.
Well, they used to pay more than that, didn't they? I don't know what?
I have no idea that I remember, because I had to do it about maybe 2 to 4 years ago, and they sent me a check for, it was 40 a day, and the thing was, is that they took very long to send that money. You know, that's another thing. It's like, you know, Uncle Sam wants you to pay when he wants you to pay. But when you do your deed and you do your work and it's time for them to pay and send you a check, you're waiting on their time. Whatever time they decide to send it to you is when you get it. And then you might even have to make a complaint. And it still might come late. So, you know, what kind of system is that? I don't know. You tell me.
I don't know.
They still got money to pay jury duty.
Well, you hope they do.
Yeah, right, because they already take so long to pay you, so the money might not even be there.
Yep.
It's ridiculous. I mean, I don't know. Mr. Rex should have some type of insight, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I missed your topic. I'm trying to do something else. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're supposed to be paying attention.
Come on, sir.
I muted out for a minute. I'm
the Mets
sorry,
are starting
man.
A fight in D.C.
Yeah, I know. I'm cool with that. I told you it was coming. I didn't think it was going to be them, but I knew shit's going to hit the fan this month. I'm guaranteeing it.
Well, now,
God,
Jay, go ahead, Ron.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Repeat that.
Wait a minute. Ron, we can go off the air?
Yeah,
yeah,
you got
a couple
minutes.
Yep.
Are you going overtime?
I don't really want to.
Okay.
If I can get out of it. It's up to you. I mean,
Mr.
if you want
Steele
to.
Is on
I mean, see, I haven't called. I got to, you got to tell
I
me.
I don't know.
I got to hang up my cell phone and call back in. That's just going to hang up.
Nah, I'm going to hang, because I had to work in the morning. You know?
Okay.
I got a lot to do. Tomorrow's Monday, so I'm sorry. But, I'm
okay.
Tired, Antoinette. It's getting to
well,
me.
That's fine.
You
nothing?
Know. But we'll definitely be back tomorrow night, for sure.
At 9
I'll
o'clock?
See how it goes in. Yeah, at 9 o'clock, your time. You betcha.
Yeah.
And we're going to see how this, we're going to update on this information on this vet clash with the police in D.C. and all that.
Well, it's
we got 90 seconds left.
Sarah
truckers,
Palin
the vets, and the bikers.
And
yeah,
the senator from Texas.
I don't know what to say about Sarah Palin.
Yeah, well, they also
you
have
know,
a senator from Texas that's there, too.
Yeah, well, I just think they're front people, you know.
Yeah.
I think they're front people. When we all right, we got a couple minutes left. We got 60 seconds left. Got a minute left. I want to thank everybody for coming tonight.
Oh no, that's
I sure appreciate
terrible, Rob.
What?
Rob said that that's not the first time there have been times when the veterans have been shot while
that's
with their families. Look that up. Thank you, Rob. I will.
Okay. I'll definitely do that. But anyway, like I said, I want to thank everybody. We're about done. Everybody have a good week coming up, and I will catch you tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, my time, Central Standard Time, and will be 9 o'clock Eastern, Antoinette's time.
Yeah.
So we'll be with you tomorrow night, and we're going to follow this coverage on this vet deal. Anyway,
I don't think Palin's a good politician, but everyone has the right to their opinion.
No.
And that's the way how you view it. That's great.
We got 10 seconds, kids. Wait. Y'all have a good
night.
I'll
well,
see
good
you
night.
Tomorrow.
Good night.
Okay, good night, everyone. Have a good one. Bye-bye. Like, yeah, six times the colors.